Gore readings, flesh wound horror freaks, and welcome to a brand new episode of Flesh Wound Horror. I am Daniel Shine, joined as always by producer Todd Loya.
What's up?
And Kruger.
Wait, you're not going to say my first name now? What's up, you sick motherfuckers?
I don't know. I was just putting a little pizzazz.
You're trying to give me like the ring announcer fucking entrance.
Yeah. We can call Ozzy to do that. Come on.
We need to give him a new name. He needs a nickname.
Who, Ozzy?
Yeah. I don't know what it should be.
I'll tell you a funny story real quick with Ozzy. We went and saw a test screening. That's all I can say about that part. But and it's like, okay, you can put your guest name down. I legitimately put his worker name. I put
Roman. Oh, I thought you were going to say Roman Reigns.
No, so they had to like, he had to show his ID. It was a whole pain in the ass, but I forget.
That works. All right. So guys, tonight we're very excited. We're going to be talking about Michele Soavi, who if you're not familiar with the name, and unfortunately a lot of people are not, which is really a shame because he was kind of the last great Italian horror director, and he was responsible for really the end of an era as Italian, the Italian market in general by the end of the 80s had really just moved to TV, and genre was kind of dead there. It really was. I mean, if you really look, Soavi was the last guy kind of really getting films made in Italy at that point, or one of the last that was delivering quality, I should say.
I want to just jump in real quick. He's not responsible for the end of the era, so I know Dan might just want to make sure people get that.
He was the last that was delivering quality. Because if you remember, Dario had made his run on America at this point with the Trauma and Two Evil Eyes, and you know, he was kind of trying to branch out while Soavi was essentially, you know, handed the torch. Which, if you're unfamiliar, he was of course a protege of Dario Argento. He was the second assistant director on Tenebrae, and you know, we'll get into it more as we go on, but yes, Soavi was a name that is not known like it should be. There's one film I find in particular tonight that people have really seen. The rest, I don't know. I don't want to say obscure, but he's just not the name. Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, I guess you could give The Church as well, but
that wasn't the one I was talking about either.
Okay, yeah, it's debatable. It's just he's not...
Well, I'll just say Stage Fright and Cemetery Man are the two I think people know.
See, I would have said Church and Cemetery Man, but...
Well, let's ask Kruger. Which two do you think, Kruger?
The only one that I knew about before this review show is Stage Fright. Like, that was the only one that I had actually even seen, which I did. And I didn't even really remember it because it was, like, way, like, you know, probably when I was, like, 15 or something when I first saw it.
So, Dan, maybe you're right with the one.
So hopefully tonight, if you're unfamiliar with Michele's work, we can, educate you and get you to get out there and watch these movies. But we haven't talked about it. I don't know if everybody likes them or not. So his first directorial feature film, I should say, because he did, I believe, direct the Dario Argento World of Horror doc. But this was his first feature film, Stage Fright, which is a 1987 film. And in this one, while a group of young actors rehearse a new musical about mass murder, a notorious psychopath escapes from a nearby insane asylum. But when the show's director locks his cast in the theater overnight, the madman is accidentally locked inside as well. Now a killer with acting in his blood has gone berserk for the blood of the actors. All right, so Stage Fright, it's an interesting one. It 1987 overseas, and I believe 1989 by the time it came to the U.S. By this point, too, part of the issues with the Italian market was that they were not able to secure U.S. and overseas release the same way for a lot of their films. They weren't you know, getting into U.S. theaters anymore. Things just were really changing by this point. This is kind of, you know, more of a slasher than a giallo, because there's no...
Definitely.
Yeah, it's there's no real mystery to the killer or, you know, any kind of major backstory. I mean, this is kind of a straight slasher. So this is one, some people lump it in with the giallo, but it's you really just think slasher. I really like this one. I think the killer's pretty unique with the owl mask and everything. It certainly delivers on the kill front. The pickaxe scene, the power drill. This guy's not messing around. I'll elaborate more, but yeah, slasher fans, giallo fans, I don't know so much. But Krueger, what did you think of Stage Fright? Are you a fan?
Yeah, so I hadn't on this rewatch. Like, I didn't really remember much about this movie outside of the kill you already brought up, the pickaxe kill, and then I remember the owl mask. So those were the only two things. And going into this, I was pretty optimistic because I hear, you know, a lot of people champion this as one of the best later slashers in the 80s. And I really love the sleazy dialogue. There was some like really good banter back and forth between some of the dancers that had me laughing. The characters were good. I liked the douchebag play director that kept like pushing the lines on controversy. And Brett, who was played by Giovanni Radice, is very likable. He's always great. Yeah. Our killer, Irving Wallace, I mean, he didn't have much personality, but he's goddamn brutal as all hell. And I did like that his backstory was that he was an actor and went crazy and murdered 16 people. And that kind of like made sense on why, you know, he was doing the things that he was doing, why in the play studio. And I, you know, like you already said, creepy owl mask was awesome. And in certain shots, like there were, he would just be lit by a spotlight. And I think it even brought out more creepiness with the owl mask. The story was simple, but really good. And like, I liked how everything primarily took place in the studio, and it gave a reason why they were trapped there and, you know, why they couldn't escape the killer. And there was also a couple of moments of tension where people were trying to sneak around the killer that I thought was really well done. And the kills were pretty brutal. I'll get into more specifics with spoilers, but yeah, there's a wide variety of like, you know, stuff with pickaxes and chainsaws, and the gore, for as low budget as it is, was really good and effective in the way the kills were shot. Like, they definitely did really well with what they, you know, could with the budget that they had. And overall, I really like this one. I don't know if I could say it's a masterpiece, but it's definitely a damn entertaining slasher and probably like one of my favorites from the late 80s for sure. And while I do enjoy 2014 Stage Fright with Meatloaf in it, that's kind of like a spiritual remake to this movie. This is definitely the superior out of the two, without a doubt.
Definitely. I remember Meatloaf Stage Fright, and I don't know if I cared for it too much.
The gore was good, and like it had a cool killer, but I love Meatloaf, man. Like, you know, you throw that motherfucker in going crazy on anything, like especially if he's going crazy on Gary Busey on a reality TV show.
Also in Dario Argento's Pelts,
yes,
the F. Paul Wilson adaptation.
And also, he won't do that. Him and Batman.
Me either, Meatloaf. One of the same. What about you, Todd?
Oh, shit. I'm with you. This is one I've watched quite a few times over the years. It's not the best, like, you know, Italian slasher by any means. But, you know, it's a fun one. It's well written. It's got a cool set. Cool look for the killer. Different. But yeah, I think kind of knowing who the killer is, it's kind of, it needed a little bit more, I guess, mystery to it.
Yeah, this is a turn your brain off and just enjoy the kill. Again, it's very well made. This isn't like some cheap, haphazard film. I mean, Michele is an amazing filmmaker. And I actually like this one quite a bit. I really do. That might be a theme tonight. I don't know, but I love the soundtrack. Just everything. I thought it's just a fun movie. There's not a lot to say about it. And again, And I'll just say it right now. It's not a giallo. I don't think it has any of the elements to call it.
I have heard that a lot, though. A lot of people.
Because it's Italian.
Yeah, it's just Italian. Yeah. I mean, I think as soon as we found out who the killer, you know, was right away, I mean, it kind of ruins a lot of like strong themes that are giallo. So,
yeah, definitely.
But yeah, why don't we rate this bitch then?
Absolutely.
So for me, I'm a 4.5 out of 5. I like it a lot. I wish I could give it a 5, honestly, because, you know, it does hit all the slasher keys. But there's something at the end that I wasn't, like, too crazy about, and that kind of took it away from me giving it a full-blown 5. And I'll talk about that in spoilers. But, yeah, 4.5 out of 5 for me. What about you, Dan?
I am a 4. I like this one. It's one I can sit down. I always enjoy it. I think he does grow even more as a filmmaker, though.
Oh, sure.
How about you, Todd?
I'm with you on this one, Dan. I'm a 4. I mean, this one, it's very obviously he's a protege of Argento. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yeah, it's well worth the watch. 4.
Yes, yes. And he also pops up as a young, as a cop in this film as well. He was an actor first. I don't know if I said that, but also worked with Joe D'Amato, and he got around. He worked with some of the legends.
And we should throw out there, George Eastman was one of the writers on this film.
Oh, yes, that is true. That is true. Another Euro horror legend that's still with us. Sadly, Michele sort of left to care for a sick kid. You know, you look at that period of time. Well, he didn't leave the business completely, but he kind of dropped off a little, took care of his kid. And he still works in Italian TV, though. So he's still.
That's what I was going to say. He has credits all the way up to this year.
Yeah. Yeah. So, he's still going strong. I'd love to see a return to the genre, though.
There is a few gaps, like from 2008 to 2011. So I don't know exactly. Yeah. It's been quite a few years since he did, you know, disappear to. To handle some family business.
Yes, yes. So, all right. Well, we'll move on to our next film from Michele from 1989, The Church, which we'll get into this. This movie's got an interesting history. So, in the middle of a modern city, an ancient evil is about to awaken. An elaborate cathedral that was once the site of a medieval massacre by crusading knights becomes a deadly trap for a group of visitors and staff when a sealed crypt is accidentally reopened. The laws of reality soon collapse as nightmare takes hold and claims the lives of those within one by one, threatening to unleash a supernatural pestilence upon the world. All right, so sort of the genesis of The Church. Lamberto Bava basically refused to do Demons 3. And this evolved, the Church kind of evolved out of that. Now, according to Dario Argento, there was nothing left of Demons 3, which was going to actually take place on a plane. So the film we have, supposedly, from Argento's standpoint, is not at all what Demons 3 was going to be. But some people do consider The Church Demons 3.
Which is weird, because you can totally see how it could be a Demons 3 with a few tweaks.
100%. 100%. I don't know what you could have changed from a script that was actually going to take place on an airplane, but, you know, who knows? Yeah.
They might be working you.
And it's also, in Italian fashion, it's confusing, because we do have Demons 3, the ogre. Which... also has nothing much to do with demons, but
this has more to do with demons than the Demons 3. Demons, yes. 3, what is there? Demons, I know, black demons,
which there's a lot of The Church, kind of a shame in a way, because they always try and lump it in with the demons films rather than covering it on its own you know, merits and everything. I like this film quite a bit. It's different in tone from the Demons films also. It's a little more, not as much humor, I would say. It brings the gore. It opens up with a mass slaughter of a village. We get to see a young Aja Argento in this one.
At the age she likes him.
Yes. Lady Weinstein. Yeah, I really like the whole Templar Knights angle. We haven't really ever talked about it on the show, but one of my all-time favorite horror films is Tombs of the Blind Dead. I absolutely adore that film, and hopefully that Blu-ray comes out soon because I'm dying to talk about that franchise in general. Synapse has it.
That's what I was going to say, Synapse.
I haven't heard any updates, though. It's been like a year or two, but anyways, fantastic story. Of course, it takes it into the present day, and I enjoy this. I think this has some very creative special effects, that sort of human tree thing that they had going on. I think you can kind of see a star in Aja even at this point. Sometimes that's not the case with certain child stars. A lot. Consider this the last. I had a discussion about this the other day. That's the last major Italian horror flick. In terms of budget, that's probably the case, because you can see a budget difference from this, which is a very lavish production. They shot this actually in Budapest, I believe, because they couldn't find a church that would let them shoot this in. Go figure.
Yeah, those Roman Catholics are like, nah.
Yeah. And I think this is actually one that actually managed to get some distribution. I know, like, Opera failed to get, like, any significant U.S. theatrical release. And this is, again, I think a fantastic film. I know it's not a first watch for you, Todd, but Kruger, was this a first watch for you?
Yeah, everything other than Stage Fright I hadn't seen before. Okay. So, like the soundtrack was great. It really sets the mood of the movie, and the opening scene with the, you know, medieval setting, and with all, you know, the knights just, you know, basically fucking building a mass grave for, you know, all these Satan worshipers, and like you understand why there's an ancient evil, you know, underneath this church. And I like that, you know, we got the backstory right away. And once Evan the librarian uncovers what's beneath the church, and we see the transformation of, like, you know, all these different characters, and we get a ton of disturbing imagery with demons and brutal kills, and it all leads up to this amazing climactic ending. And you already brought up the practical effects were fantastic, especially with, like, the various creature designs. The ancient demon looks so fucking awesome. And, you know, that fleshy monument that rises out of the ground, you know, that's just basically bodies stacked on top of each other. That was great. So if you're an effects guy like me, definitely check this one out, because there's a lot for you here.
Sergio Stivaletti, who is an icon.
Yeah, and like
high tension.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and overall, this is probably my favorite Swayze film I've seen so far. Like, I definitely recommend, if you're into demonic storylines with actual on-screen demons, because you don't get that really. That you know, you get a lot of just, you know, oh well, there's a demon in the house, but you never see it. This one, you sure as shit do, and it's fucking awesome. And I found some, like, parallels to this. And some of the, like, Fulci's films, like the Gates of Hell trilogy, like, I saw a lot of similarities, and, like, particularly the gore and, like, some of the effects, but also, like, the storyline. Like, I really think it would make a solid double feature with any of, you know, Fulci's trilogy. So, yeah, really like this one a lot. And I think if you dig Fulci's Gates of Hell trilogy, you'll dig this one big time.
And I love the art, the Boris Vallejo art of the demon grabbing the girl's ass. That's, like, so iconic. I have a T-shirt with that. I do think
you should be wearing it tonight.
I couldn't find it. I actually tried to change into it, but yeah. Well, typically animated nudity, I guess you can get away with it. But Keith Emerson also originally worked on the music, but. He had a falling out. He was actually friends with Dario Argento, but I guess it didn't quite fit the mood, and they ended up using like goblin covers of Philip Glass instead. But yeah, I mean, this is an amazing film. I kind of wish it didn't have that demons connection, because everybody wants to consider it Demons 3, but it's not.
To be honest with you, and hot take incoming, but I may like this more than the actual first Demons.
Oh, that's not cool.
Second though,
well, I'm not huge on the second.
Okay, Demons. So
yeah, so like I may like this even a little bit more than I like Demons. So if that's it, I agree with you. It should definitely be on its own, not have that Demons 3 title slumped with it. Especially yeah. Considering Demons 3 was terrible. The ogre one you're talking about. Yeah, fucking awful.
Yeah, it's a shame. But again, you can see just how good he was, and it was getting harder to deliver these kinds of movies at that point. And another thing about Michele Soavi, even for outside of horror, he was also assistant director on Adventures of Baron Munchausen for Terry Gilliam. And Gilliam puts him over. He's like, that movie was very troubled and probably wouldn't have been finished if it weren't for Michele. So very talented guy. Hey, you get all of the Euro horror favorites here. Barbara Cupisti's in this one. Giovanni Lombardo, Radice, Aja Argento. Yeah, you can't go wrong. This is a fantastic movie, and I love it very, very much. All right, so Kruger, what do you rate this one?
5 out of 5 for me.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, Todd. Yeah, what the hell? You forgot about Todd.
Well, it's all right, because Dan, like, rambled off at the very end, like, all the stuff I was
going to put over. It confused me. My bad.
That's all right. Other than me bringing up Giovanni, which, you know, you did until the end. You know, when I should have been speaking.
He has
when Dan was rambling off. Well.
He has an autobiography. Check it out.
I would love to hear on set stories of House of the Edge of the Park, because, you know, that's my favorite film with him. Shocker. And for those who don't know, that's because David Hess is the lead. He's basically the, not Fred Lincoln. Yeah, kind of like it's Fred Lincoln in that one, I guess. Part of his, can I say the trilogy it is anymore?
Weinstein trilogy, yes.
I was going to say the Struggle Snuggle.
Yeah, trilogy. Struggle Snuggle.
There you go.
The Todd trilogy, done.
You know, every once in a while, he talks to my mom on Facebook about cats. Just, she added him when we met him at Chiller years ago, and she's like, yeah, every once in a while, I'll still talk to Giovanni randomly about cat stuff.
Does your mom know what he's saying?
My mom has never seen... No,
that's what I'm saying. Are you sure he's talking about those kind of cats?
No. Actually,
why does
he keep asking me
about my pussy?
I think he had a fundraiser about his cat, and yeah, okay. I think my mom might have
killed the Kruger.
Oh my god! No, but now I just picture him and Dam's mom and him and Baphomet, like, fuck. God damn it. Yeah, let's rate this fucking
thing. What did you give it?
5 out of 5 for me. This is, like I said, probably my favorite Soavi film. So 5 out of 5. What about you, Dan?
I don't know if I'd say it's my favorite, but I do think it's a classic, and I am also a 5. I love this movie. I always have.
Well, now I feel like the dick giving it a 4.5. But yeah. That's only because I like one of his films better, so.
Fair enough.
There you go. Redemption for Baphomet, Mr. Radice.
Jesus Christ. Whatever you do, if you're watching this and you're a fan of him, do not watch fucking Baphomet. Go watch our review on it, though.
Yeah, I agree. That was sad. All right. So moving along to 1991, Michele's next horror film, The Sect. And in this one, there's fear around every corner with a diabolical sect on the loose. Kelly Curtis, sister of Jamie Lee, stars as Miriam, an American school teacher relocated to Germany in an area plagued by a satanic cult that murders and tears the hearts out of anyone who betray them. One afternoon, Miriam accidentally hits an elderly pedestrian, Mabius, standing in the middle of the road. Alarmed, she takes him back to her house to recuperate, only for him to secretly drug her with some dark fluid from an eyedropper and then secrete in a hallucinogenic insect into her nostril. This description kind of goes on. But yes, bad shit goes down after she picks up the old man and tries to nurse him to health. So, the sect, smaller budget at this point. We're in the 90s now, so, things changed quite a bit and changed fast. By the time we get to this point, it also heavily featured Dario Argento's obsession with Nazi World War II stuff featured here. really very clear how much the punk scene really influenced Italian horror films, particularly in the 80s, but even now into the 90s. The budget is much less than The Church, but it's also a little more small scale story. We don't talk about Herbert Lohm very often. He is a cinema icon that started working in the late 30s. Did everything from low budget horror and action films, King Solomon's Mines, to Hollywood classics like The Lady Killers with Peter Sellers. And his other work on the Pink Panther films. A true icon, doesn't get talked about enough.
He played Van Helsing once too.
Yeah, he went from genre to genre, big films, small films. That guy just
99 worked. Women.
Yes, Jess Franco. He is also a Jess Franco alumni. And so at this particular point, this is smack dab in Dario trying to, take over America with two evil eyes and trauma. Unfortunately, I think really go well for him. This is kind of really, again, he's the producer on this and kind of the last of his golden age before almost all of Dario's films had different production problems. Kelly Curtis, interesting. She didn't have the career you would necessarily expect. I thought she was pretty good. I don't know if I saw like major star in her, but she does a pretty good job here. The ending on this is, I really wish they had stopped a little bit sooner. I'll just put it that way. I think it would have been more powerful. Definitely a step down from The Church for me, but I do like this film. Before I ramble on more, though, Kruger, what did you think? First time watch. So,
So this had a great soundtrack, and I really, really like the amount of symbolism in this film. There's white rabbit shit everywhere, like all over the fucking place. Even like when it's not even in the focal point, it's somewhere off in the background. I thought that was really, really well done. The story has this mysterious feel to it, and you're not really sure what in the fuck is happening until like the last 10 minutes you finally find out, what the explanation is. And, I found the final act honestly really strong and worth 100% the journey to get there. And like on top of all the disturbing imagery we get, there's some really, really great practical effects behind some of the stuff. Like you said, lower budget, but there was some stuff in here that really like impressed me with
Did you like the bird pecking maggot scene? That's one of my favorites of all time.
I was saving that one, but yeah, that was definitely pretty badass. And my only criticism, I think, is like there's some times in between some of the scares that I felt the movie drag, and I think like it does drag in some areas and this is, a fairly long film. I think it could have been, maybe tightened up a little bit. And I really didn't care for too many characters outside of Miriam. Like I wasn't like crazy really about anybody. I was more focused on what was going on with her. And yeah, I really wish the ending would have ended a few moments earlier too. Cause I wasn't crazy about, the very end. And but overall I think it's another classic, and it's, this, if there's anything that I can say about this movie. It's fucking super unique. I actually watched it with two buddies of mine, and they're just like, that's one of the weirdest, like, and but more most original horror films I've seen in a really long time. And I tend to agree with that. It's so different than anything I really had seen up until then. So yeah, what about you, Todd? What do you think about The Sect?
Thank you, Kruger. Dad,
my bad.
Well, I'm going to say I just got to throw out there. Kelly Curtis was in Star Trek Deep Space Nine. Since
she was. You yell at me for bringing up Deep Space Nine.
I was actually going to give you props, but
she was also in Silk Stocking, so that
and Trading Places.
Yeah, she's Jamie Lee's assistant now, basically.
Oh, well, I'm sure we know where they met then. Yeah, I'm with you on this one, Kruger. This one is like a weird one. I enjoy it. I think out of the three so far, this is my least favorite, but I do still really enjoy it. You can see the budget stepped out. I first saw this one on the Devil's Daughter VHS that I got from this one video store. It was a bootleg, so go figure. But yeah, and that was the first time I saw it, and I didn't really like it then. It wasn't till I think later, I want to say when I got one of the first import DVDs of it, and I really sat down and watched it as, you know, an adult, yeah. And I did really enjoy it. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it would have been before I rated. I also wanted to put over the Pino DiNaggio score. Very good on this one, but if they had just cut off the ending a little sooner, it would have been even higher up for me, because I think the ending was pretty damn good. But all right, so let's go ahead and rate it. What say you, Kruger?
I am a 4 out of 5 on this one. I like it a lot, but it's already been said. The ending kind of puts it over for me giving it any higher than a 4. So 4 out of 5. What about you, Todd?
I'm a little lower. I'm a 3.5, okay. But still enjoy it.
I'm a 4. I do like this film quite a bit. It's also very impressive for when it was made and, you know, what was going on at that point, where we are quite literally almost about dead on the Italian horror front. So, all right. So moving on next to what truly, I think, you could make the case, the last great Italian horror film of the golden era. And that is Cemetery Man from 1994.
Della Morte,
depending where you're at. Yes.
And that title gets used a lot everywhere. So I just want it.
Yes. In this one, we follow Francesco Della Morte, played by Rupert Everett, a cemetery watchman whose job is to slaughter the living dead when they rise hungry from their graves. But following a tragic tryst with the lusty young widow, Francesco begins to ponder the mysteries of existence. Is there long-term satisfaction in blasting the skulls of the returners? Will his imbecile assistant find happiness with the partial girl corpse of his dreams? And if death is the ultimate act of love, can a psychotic killing spree send Della Morte to the brink of enlightenment? All right. So a lot of people, if you're lucky or unaware, there was a Brandon Ralph film called Dylan Dog, which is the source material that this was based on. Avoid that one. I think it's fucking horrible.
I've never made myself watch it. I just couldn't do it.
it's not the same film whatsoever. So yeah, avoid the Brandon Ralph film. So I remember when I first saw this, because again, zombie films, 1994, you were not getting a lot of zombie films at this point. That was dead, no pun intended. And sitting down, really expecting nothing more than a typical zombie film. And I got this amazing ride that I was not expecting at all. This was legitimately probably a top 5 film for me at one point. I mean, it still ranks very, very high. So if you haven't watched this, Good you have luck a lot
finding it.
Oh, actually, though, there's a lot of overseas Blu-rays.
Yeah. You'll have to import them.
Yeah, you can still get the Anchor Bay DVD too, though.
I think that one's a little bit more expensive, but
it might have finally ticked up a little bit. But yeah, I mean, you want this, get it. It's very much worth it.
There are tons of region-free Blu-rays.
Yeah, there's like a German 3D one. There's
that's the one I have.
Yeah, I have it too. So, wow, I this had everything I could possibly want. The morbid, dark humor. I thought really kind of a great double. I used to double it up with Reanimator back in the day all the time. Although we don't actually get the head from head scene, but we do get some severed head shenanigans in this as well. Beautiful looking film. I mean, the scenes where he's talking to death and just the ending. I got a lot more than just a typical zombie film. Yet it delivers everything you could want in a standard zombie film. Rupert Everett. It really didn't do a whole lot of other genre work, but, you know, certainly a big name in drama. I did a lot of Shakespearean adaptations on film. I would love to see A Cemetery Man 2. I want to say that was rumored at one point, but nothing ever really came of it, unfortunately. So many iconic moments in here, from the motorcycle coming out of the grave to just... Oh, man. And it's got a very mean, nasty edge to it, too. What did you think of Cemetery Man, Kruger?
So first time watch for me. I've heard a lot about this movie. And I'll say the opening sequence put me, like, really into the shit pretty quick. I was like, all right, I'm fucking in. So Francesco de la Muerte, like, is extremely likable main character, and quite frankly he's just a fucking badass. Like, he gives me super strong Ash Williams vibes, and like, I love the narration of his thoughts throughout the film, and just like, you know, watching his transformation or descend into madness, whatever the fuck it was really fun and cool to watch. And I also loved his doofy assistant Nagi. He definitely brought a lot of comic relief to the film. The story, I felt like, had some like Evil Dead inspiration there, but it was so different that like it was, you know, different enough to be its own thing. And the pacing's really well done. There's never a spot in this movie that drags, or it never took itself too seriously, which brought this really interesting like comedic tone, but also like a lot of like romantic themes in here too. And I was pretty impressed with that, especially with able to balance that, you know, comedy and romance, and then have all this brutal, you know, balls to the wall gore and stuff. I thought that was really masterfully done. And the makeup effects I thought were great. Like, the zombies look really cool. I like how, you know, some of them had like roots growing out of their skin, and the zombie biker with the top of his helmet split open was great, and the Grim Reaper was so fucking cool. And you don't really see like on-screen Grim Reapers really, like, ever. So I thought that was pretty sick to see that. The only thing, like, I really just, it didn't work for me with this movie, and it kind of really hurt my experience as a whole, was the ending. Like, I didn't really fucking understand why they went with that.
Now you know how I feel when I watch Krampus.
I get you. But like, I didn't really understand why they went with that sort of ambiguity, and like, all the explanations I read online, just, they don't fucking, maybe you guys can give me a different explanation that will sell me on it, but everything I read online, I was just like, that's fucking lame. Everything else was great, and that's just so fucking, such a lame fucking ending for me. But yeah, I liked it a lot, but the ending really hurts it a lot for me.
Yeah, some people love the ending, a lot don't. Yeah.
Dan.
But what?
Don't skip me again.
I'm not skipping you. I'm not.
Well, you already.
What say you, Todd?
Like, I just have to. I have to jump in there now because I'm just, you started talking again. I wasn't sure.
My bad.
Take up my last points.
And you bring up Deep Space Nine too.
Speaking of points, happy. Speaking of points, shut up, Dan. Speaking of points, Anna Fauci, since no one else mentioned her, yeah.
Still, by the way.
Yeah. That artwork, any like the Italian poster art, or I believe they redid it. Well, they on the media book for the 3D one, beautiful painted one by the Dude Designs. Very iconic. Unfortunately, we can't show that now. But the movie itself, I remember the first time I watched it. And the moment we get to the hospital stuff, I was just like, what the fuck? This is just, yeah. Not that it already wasn't insane.
Wouldn't pugs love that, though? The hospital stuff.
But yeah, I know. And Kruger, you mentioned the romance aspect of it. This is one, I think it's a beautiful horror film. And you can show, like, somebody who's not in love with horror and can see that. Mm. But I get why people don't like the ending, but I've always been good with open-ended stuff or stuff left up for interpretation. And I couldn't give you an answer of like what it means. I think giving it a definitive answer kind of misses the point. But that's just me. I don't know, Dan, do you have something like for the ending? Do you like have an explanation or what do you think, I guess?
It's a little, ambiguous in a way, but I mean it you know, it's still like, oh shit.
You could make a lot of things fit if you wanted to.
Yeah, I don't want to directly spoil it, but yeah.
Yeah, no, like just for me, there was nothing that I could think of that fit it at the time.
That's the thing about it. It's like one of those movies.
I'll say what I would have done in spoilers. In spoiler, okay. But you guys got anything else before we rate it?
I do want to say Francois Haji Lazzaro, who plays Nagi, is a rock star.
Yeah, I read that. France.
He still is, actually. You can see like old man Nagi still jamming out.
I think it's funny when I saw him, I was just like, what the fuck else is this guy in? He's so awesome. And fucking finding out he's a French rock star, like that's. I didn't see that with Nagi, but now just picturing Nagi rocking around on a fucking guitar, I'm down.
All right, well, let's go ahead and rate it, and then we'll talk a little bit more about spoilers and whatnot. I'm a 5. I love this film; it's a classic.
I'm a 4 out of 5, and maybe as time goes on, I'll grow to love this film. That does tend to happen with me sometimes, but for right now, first viewing, 4 out of 5.
Sweet.
I am a 5 also. Again, this is one of my favorites. You know, it was probably once in my top 5. It's probably still in my top 10. Yeah, I do love this film.
Sweet, sweet. All right, guys. So we'll talk a little bit more and spoilers. So before we do that, though, be sure to check out fleshwoundfeatures.com. Also, all of the great, the links to everything on there and our Teespring store, all the great merchandise for Christmas Cruelty, officially licensed movie merchandise, as well as your podcast merch and what have you. We're also on Discord now, so hop on there. Horror Cartel Flesh Wound Radio Facebook group, and also follow us Flesh Wound Radio on Twitter. We are on Twitch as well. Patreon.com/fleshwoundfeatures. We have some exclusive uncensored, uncut stuff up there for you right now, certain videos. It's the only place you're going to see them. It all starts at just $1, and it's support. You support us, and we really appreciate it. Also, be sure to like, share, subscribe, comment on YouTube. It increases our visibility, and you've been great about that lately, so we appreciate it very, very much.
All right. On that note, we're going to hit the spoiler warning. Here we go.
There you go. You have been warned. I mean, the Cemetery Man ending, you could kind of go with the purgatory explanation. It's open to interpretation. Obviously, he reverted, and then Nagi, of course, which I kind of like to see Rupert Everett playing the simpleton, and then Nagi's like taking, betting all the beautiful women. And
so for me, like, honestly, it's not even just the ambiguity. In my opinion, they should have just ended it when he was going through the tunnel and just ended it there. Like that would have sat better with me with the whole Nagi's talking fine now. And, you know, I would have been fine with them just going through the tunnel. And when all that flashing shit happened, boom, roll credits. Either that or, you know, maybe they fucking drive off the cliff. I don't know. Maybe the ending will work for me later on in life, but not right now. I was already having such a great, like, I was legit, like, this may be one of my favorite zombie films I've ever seen in my life. And then that ending is just kind of threw a nice uppercut to my nutsack.
It's also a love story, but at the same time, anybody like that might be bitter with love might find something to enjoy in there as well. Well,
dude, he almost cut his dick off for this bitch. Like, goddamn. And
have you ever done that, Dan?
I've been accused of being a romantic in the past. I will not cut my dick off. I'll be alone. That's cool.
But on this, like, I got to talk about the opening scene. So, like, hear a knock on the door. Homeboy opens it up, looks at the dude's fingernails, and just, bam, blows his fucking head off. Like, in, like, the first 5 seconds of the movie. Like, that was great. And just, and then, like, after that, we get, like, a shovel to the forehead on one zombie. And that was great. And then later on, Francesco stabs this zombie with a crucifix out the, like, in the back of his head, out of his fucking mouth. And then when it lands, the crucifix is upside down. Like, that was fucking awesome. The motorcycle fucking crash scene was brutal as hell. Like, especially seeing that dude's head get crushed by the bus, and then how they, you know, go back to it and the top of his fucking helmet is all split open when he turns into a zombie. That was great. And the double kill on the zombie biker and his girlfriend was great. Like, two headshots, one fucking bullet. I actually shouted out double kill like a fucking video game when that happened. So that honestly may have been my favorite moment in the whole fucking movie. And yeah, you brought up the hospital scene when he's just going fucking ham on everybody. You're shooting everybody. I thought that was fucking great too.
Yeah. I think the whole movie's kind of what the fuck. That's why the ending doesn't bother me, because it is what the fuck. So, I mean, it's weird because it does fit with the tone. It's just, I know that ending splits a lot of people. Kind of like the High Tension ending splits a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't really have an issue with that one.
I don't either, but that's another one that gets really divides people.
Yeah, well, you guys got anything else on Cemetery Man? I figure we'll go backwards. Because I got a lot to talk about on stage.
Oh, right? Wait, so yeah. And Anna Felci's nudity is very good. There we go.
Yeah, I actually watched all of these with my friends, and they were pretty happy with the nudity as well. They were like, "Fuck yeah, finally!" Right. So the sept. All right, so like the kill on that Mary chick with her blood like spilling into the milk, I thought that was really fucking sick. And then, you know, how the killer goes on the subway, and then this thief tries to steal Mary's cross from the killer, and it's fucking tied to her heart. Like, and the heart just plops out. And then the killer's on the chase, and they finally get to the cops get him. And then he grabs the cop's gun and blows his brains out. And you see the back of his fucking skull just go fucking splat on a wall. And like, they zoom in on it too. It was fucking, it was super stylish. And I like that. And the old man sticking that bug up the main character's nose, and she has that weird fever dream of that bird pecking her neck. That was fucking really creepy. The scene when the sect rips off that one chick's face with the hooks, that was fucking awesome. And then the bird rape scene, dude, like, holy crap. Like, that was so fucked up, and she's pecking at her, like, maggot fucking tumor on her neck and shit. Like,
that is one of the most best, in my opinion, gore scenes there, or just gross scenes in horror films.
Well, and you see this fucking bird's like humping her while it's going on. Like, god damn, I was not expecting that at all. And then the sequence, or actually before that, the and then the when she goes into water and that fucking nasty like sack comes out of her with the baby in it, that was fucking gross as hell looking too. So that burn sequence at the end, when Miriam throws herself and the baby in the fire, I liked how, you know, her, I think it was her father, right, jumps in after her, and the effect of the charred flesh getting washed off with the water on the father at the end was nasty as hell. I just didn't like that she lived. Like, nor do I think, you know, the father covering her would have saved her. She was already fucking on fire, you know. And like the other thing too is like maybe if she survived, I would have been okay with it if they would have like covered her in burns like Freddy Krueger or some shit, like you know, and just say like she survived but she's fucking maimed for the rest of her life. Like that would have been a better ending than her just, oh, wash this shit off, my skin is perfectly fine.
Too light, too happy, for the tone of the film for me.
Yeah, it hurt it a lot for, I think, me and all my friends too, because everything up until then were like, this is fucking great, but then it just didn't stick that ending. So, anything else on the sect?
No. But see them all tonight, guys.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. All of these are great. Like, there's not a single one that you could really go wrong with that I didn't like. So let's go to the church then. So the way in the beginning when the knights fucking, you know, they're piling all the bodies up, and there's the imagery of just that one woman reaching out. Fuck. Like, you know, that was really fucked up and well done. The scene where Evan rips out his own heart, that was great. Same with like the teenage girl's father who jackhammers himself to death in the basement of the church. That was a great kill. That scene where that weird like demon fish thing pops out of the holy water and latches onto the dude's face. Like that fucking creature was awesome. I had to go back and pause it and just take a look at that thing, 'cause it was fucking badass as hell. And then that train kill, man. Like the way we see that chick's face just smash up against the window and just splatter all over the fucking place. Fucking amazing. And dude, like we have to talk about the demon Todd and the chick. I mean, fucking first off, the demon looked absolutely phenomenal. That has to probably be one of my favorite on-screen demons I've ever fucking seen. And like the way he's got this snarl while he's humping her, he's like, yeah, like that was fucking great. Like I thought that, like, that's so fucked up, and like just that imagery of him, you know, just, and with the grin, like he almost has a grin on his face while he's fucking doing it. That was great. And so that's all I got on the church. So moving on to stage fright. So there's a fucking lot here, because there's a lot of kills. So the first kill on the nurse with the syringe to the throat was solid. Even though we just saw the aftermath, I was like, oh, nasty. The pickaxe kill was probably my favorite, or one of my favorites at least. Just the way, you know, he gets her with it and then she like folds back in half. Like that was fucking nasty. And it's funny, like that kill was definitely like inspired a kill that was in the Friday the 13th video game you could do with the pickaxe. So I recognized it from that. That drill kill when he's choking the Mark guy through the door, and then he just tries to drill through the door into the back, you know, out the front. That was fucking great. The kill when the pregnant chick gets dragged through the floor and they're like in a tug of war for her body, and they finally yank her up and she's fucking cut in half and her guts just go flying everywhere.
That was cool.
So good. And immediately after, the killer just goes on a fucking chainsaw rampage and kills one dude, then hacks off the director's arm, and when the chainsaw dies, he just grabs him. He says, fuck it, I'll grab the axe, and decapitates him in one swoop. That was fucking awesome. Irving gutting that chick in the show. Like, I like the little glimpse we got of him, like, splitting her, and the visual of the owl mask through the shower curtain, I thought was super creepy. I love the visual, like, when he has all the victims set up on the stage, too, at the end, like, and the director's severed head is on that mannequin. He's just sitting in the chair, you know, just chilling with his dead bodies, admiring his work. That was great. And the way, like, Irving, well, he doesn't get killed, but the whole sequence with the flaming barrel, that was really cool. And originally I was just like, oh, he just fell to his death, you know, that's kind of lame. But no, he came back for one last scare and got taken down accordingly with, you know, a nice long burn stunt. The only thing, like, I kind of was like, he didn't need to come back again and get shot in between the eyes at the end. Like, I was fine with him being dead then. I was like, ah, this is a little too much overkill. And plus, like, it was that, what was it, like, the janitor that shot him in between the eyes or some shit. So I was like, fuck, it should have been her. She should have killed him. Like, you know, not
that would have made more sense.
Yeah. So I wasn't crazy about that ending, but everything else up until then, fucking, you know, the movies like this are the reasons why I fucking adore slasher films. Just fucking turn your brain off, watch some fucking somebody tear into a bunch of motherfuckers. And, you know, that's why it's my favorite subgenre of horror. And this is definitely up there with some of the greats. I'm trying to think of, like, anything else from the late 80s that, you know, I really hold to as high of a regard as this one. Other than maybe, like, Friday the 13th Part 7, like, there really isn't anything. Like, I think this one's way better than, like, Intruder and stuff like that, so.
I put Intruder over Friday the 13th Part 7. I'll just tell you that now.
Yeah, I have. I understand that. I have a really strange love with that film. And the
a lot of people do.
Well, and it's not even just that, though. I think what made me love the film the most is all the cut kills that, you know, came on the DVD that I got to see when I was a kid, when I first watched Friday the 13th Part 7. Just like seeing all the cut different, you know, that the one where he literally squishes the dude's head into a peanut. Like, that's one of my favorite kills that I never got to see. But yeah, that's all I got for stage fright.
All right. We'll pull the spoiler warning. But yeah, I mean, we've all said it. Check out his filmography. I did look it up. Cemetery Man's like $50 if you want the Anchor Bay DVD, but you can get imports of the Blu-ray. The other, hold on.
The Sect and
Church.
The Church you can get from, I know Ronan Flicks has.
Yeah. I believe they're technically from Scorpion, so you can get the two standard editions from Amazon. And Ronan had the limited ones. I'm not sure. Those are probably sold out, though.
No, they're still there. I checked before the show.
I grab them.
And they both have their slip covers according to their Facebook page.
Well, yeah, if it's the limited ones, they all have slip covers, not the other ones. And Stage Fright you can get from Anchor Bay.
Blue Underground.
Thank you. Well, it was before that. It was Anchor Bay. I'm hopefully we see a 4K since Blue Underground's been doing that. So
yeah, I've been holding off on buying the Blu-ray just to see, you know, because I think that would be. Oh man, all that gore in 4K, yes, please. Fucking, yeah. I would pay good money for that.
Yeah, no, guys, pick up all of these. And again, Argento, Fulci, icons, but Michele, he's there too. He really is. Michele Soavi.
It's hard because he has such a small filmography. I think that's why.
Yeah.
I think it's cool though. Like, all his films, you know, are really different, and like that's the one thing I liked about all four. You know, they're very different. From like The Sect and The Church, kind of have, you know, maybe a little bit of a similar theme, but just everything like really consistent. It's unfortunate he didn't do more though. I do agree because honestly, if he would have had, you know, more time to put more films under his belt, you know, you could definitely hold them into the regard that, you know, Fulci and Argento are. But even with this, you know, he's definitely one of the best Italian horror directors I've seen so far.
I agree.
Oh yeah, 100%. So yeah, guys, be sure to watch all these films. As always, comment, let us know what you thought. I think they all hold up really well. Be sure to listen to all of the other great shows we have for you guys this week. And that's all I've got. Don't watch the Brandon Ralph Dylan Dog. It's horrible.
You know, I'm tempted to now.
I've never I would be shocked if you liked it, but
well, it's in my to watch stack, but it's in the back. So eventually it'll happen. I'm actually trying to actually watch all the media I own. So,
yeah. All right. Well, why don't we get? Yeah, why don't we get the fuck out of here? Stay sick, motherfuckers.
Good night.
All right.